BMW.
Here we are, my friends, Wednesday, December 20th. By the way, winter solstice tomorrow, I think at like 7:58, and then our days start getting longer. So again, that might bring a smile to your face. 28 degrees and cloudy is where we're at right now. Well, it's been a week and a half since an event that, for me personally, was kind of life-changing. 2023 Community Choir and Chorus and their Christmas cantata, Seeking a King and Finding Grace. And each year, this is my third year with the choir and the orchestra, each year at Saturday's rehearsal, this gentleman always favors us with not only a prayer, which he also adds to the performance, but with his poems too. And it's been a delight for the past 3 years. And this year, I said, you know what? I got to get this guy on the air with us. Cowboy poet Keith Orchard in studio with me this morning. Keith, good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Been 3 years in the making. Yeah. Let's get a little background. How does one become a cowboy poet, Keith? When did this start with
goodness,
you?
I knew you were going to ask me that question, so I'm pondering that on the way in this morning. And years and years ago, I've had the opportunity, if you can call it that, to work on many different cattle operations, cattle ranches from the western part of North Dakota, the Badlands, and all the way to the Cheyenne National Grasslands in and around McLeod. And even today, currently, I work part-time on a cattle operation near Great Bend. So that's where my wife and I have taken up residence for almost 50 years now. But in working with working cowboys, is what you can call it that, mostly on horseback, you develop a kind of a flair of what they do or what we do, and you try to put that together in rhyme, in rhythm, and it tells a story. And over time, these kinds of things just came to me. I don't know, but I'm the kind of person that when I think of a verse, I have to write it down right away. Otherwise, sure, I'm going to forget it.
Right.
And I'll go home and I think, well, what did I think about? And so I've written some things down. And each and every year, historically, I've done Christmas poems, mm-hmm, with a cowboy poet flair. And so that's kind of where it's come to.
Do you ever get Louis L'Amour comparisons? I bet you do.
Louis L'Amour. I've read all of his books.
Mm-hmm.
All of his books, yeah. And But there are some very famous cowboy poets out there, and this is you can go all over, actually western the United States, to these cowboy poet gatherings that they have throughout the country, and there are some very famous cowboy poets out there that actually make a full-time living doing this. I don't. I'd be on the breadline if I...
Yet, I mean, you know, there's still a lot of time left, Keith.
Yeah.
Well, again, and you've been singing... How long have you been singing with the community choir?
Oh, goodness. 10, 12 years, I think.
How did it become part of the, you know, the rehearsal, part of the whole thing where they said...
That's an interesting piece because I've always sung. I've always sung in groups. I sang in a semi-professional men's a cappella group called Dakota Harmony for 20 years. I sing in a gospel quartet through Bethel Church. I do a lot of solo work myself, but it's interesting. I had one of the guys that I sang with, or I sing with currently in the quartet, came up to me one time a number of years ago. He says, boy, we need some additional male singers in this group. Would you be interested? And I knew they were right at the end of the rehearsal time with the concert coming up very shortly. And I said, I haven't been to a rehearsal. That's okay. You can learn it off the CD. So I went home with the CD and I pounded it into my head and showed up for the very last rehearsal.
Right.
And sang the cantata. Yeah. And I've been doing it. And once you do this, it's like drugs.
Right. No, it's a beautiful addiction. It really is.
It you just have to go back because, and I tell the group, Kent gets me up there and talks to the orchestra and the rest of the community choir members and I told them last year, I try to tell them every year that you're going to make Christmas for close to 1,000 people.
Right. I think we succeeded in that.
Oh, I.
On that note, let's cover the prayer. Do you compose these yourself each and every year? Obviously, a great man of faith.
I do, and I try to put some together. They're not. Some of them are lighter than others, of course, but, cowboy poetry is like any poem. It has rhyme and rhythm, but it also tells a story.
Right.
And that story is often lived by the author, the poet, the storyteller. So.
And thereby it's honest.
Yeah.
Very, very honest. And folks, if you miss the performance, both performances well attended. I know Sunday's performance was over 500 people, and during the time you were reciting the prayer, you could have heard a pin drop. I didn't even hear anybody cough during that. I mean, the silence in over 500 people was incredible. Listening to you, your voice is so hypnotic, Keith. That was definitely something that you've been blessed with. Let's get to your poem. Give us a little background about this poem, if you will.
This is a poem that I'll call it Christmas Gathering. It has a message at the very end about children. It has a message about my mother and my father. And when I was a little boy.
Fantastic. I'm just going to let you do this. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Borchard, cowboy poet.
My mind begins to wander to them days of long ago. I can still hear the bells of the bobsled when we fed and feel the cold, cold, wet snow. Now my saddle horse would whinny with breath that I could see as we rode up in them hills to fetch a Christmas tree. Oh, how my little fingers were kept busy stringing popcorn bows and berries for that tree. And oh, when it was finished, what a sight to see. I remember our little place down near the lake and think about the sacrifices my folks sure had to make. I remember my mom. I remember my mother preparing special treats and hanging up our stockings she took right off our feet. And dear old Dad making just that one special toy for all the delight and happiness of every girl and boy. I can still smell the roast Mom made us and taste that pumpkin pie with green beans and mashed potatoes piled almost to the sky. I can still hear that Christmas blessing with heads bowed before the meal and think about how special it made us all feel. Because we were taught the reason why we celebrate it, it was a baby born that day. It just weren't chance or fate. And when I hold my grandchildren, though Christmases aren't quite the same, I'll share with them this special story and forever, ever bless his name. Thank you.
Keith Borchard, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
There you go, folks. Putting you in the Christmas spirit, our cowboy poet, Keith Borchard. We're going to make this a yearly tradition, my friend.
Right.
And folks,
okay.
If you want to listen to this again, it will be available in podcast form on our website, kbmwnews.com, and that will be up early this afternoon. It's 9:18, Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Bow. Bum ba do ba dow, bubba do bubba dow, bow. Bum ba do ba hum ba do bow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Well, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for Papa. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Now when we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow.
Letting it snow, letting it snow. That is Ricochet, Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Hey, good Wednesday morning to you. Hope the middle of the week's treating you good so far. 28 and cloudy is what you're waking up to here this morning. Hey, don't forget about this. They're going to undo the sock tree this year. I love this. Leech Public Library every year gets together and has, well, of course, their library sock tree. Well, they have partnered with Three Rivers Crisis Center. And asking you this year to, of course, donate new socks and new with tags or unopened packages of underwear of all sizes and genders. And that will go, of course, to the Three Rivers Crisis Center. Donations will be accepted at the library through December 31st.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in North Dakota.
This message presented by the NDHSAA and the North Dakota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement.